if we conceptualize the recovery process from chronic and disordered anxiety, it really is one long march from fear-driven behavior to value-driven behavior.
If you're someone with intrusive thoughts and things that go against your morals and values, turning your back on them, sitting with the discomfort, leaning into the uncertainty, not even sitting with the discomfort, just getting on with your day is a value-driven exposure. I was at home and not feeling great, and feelings of depression were exacerbated because I didn't feel like I had a function or a purpose. I felt like quite useless.
Do what non-anxious you would do. I don't even know who that is anymore. Sometimes we lose touch with who we are and what we value. So values exercises can be really helpful to sort of revive that and remind ourselves who we really are and what we're working toward.
Welcome to Disordered. This episode is entitled Values Driven Recovery. I'm Joshua Fletcher, also known as Anxiety Josh on social media. And I'm a psychotherapist who specializes in anxiety disorders and a previous sufferer. I'm also the author of And How Does That Make You Feel? And the co-host of this podcast.
And I am Drew Linsalata. I am a therapist in training, also specializing in anxiety and anxiety disorders in the United States. I'm also an author, three times, podcaster, educator, former sufferer, just like Josh, and I'm here sitting next to him 5,000 miles across the water. So here we are for episode 60 of Disordered. What's up, dude?
Yeah, so I'm going good, good. Life's good. Very happy. So good. You were particularly passionate about kind of talking about this subject today. I know it's your jam. Why do we talk about values driven recovery?
It is kind of my jam. I'm a big fan of the values work because I think if we conceptualize the recovery process from chronic and disordered anxiety, it really is one long, sometimes painful, slogging through the mud, difficult march from fear-driven behavior to value-driven behavior. Meaning, you know, if you're in the thick of it right now, you're probably behaving almost entirely according to what your fear is telling you to do. Whereas when you reach that sort of recovered state, you know, whatever, however you define that, you're generally just doing, when we say do what non-anxious you would do, you're basically starting to act based on what you value in life or what you want in life. So I'm a big fan of the idea that getting in touch with your values, which is a big part of ACT, acceptance and commitment therapy, helps you to understand why you're doing these hard things. If you don't know what you're shooting for and you just have a vague, I want to feel better. Sometimes why you do hard things can just become this torture chamber of just going around and around, and you don't know why you're actually doing it. Why would I choose to do this? Well, what do you want? What do you value in life? Connect with that. Mm-hmm. It also helps too, I think, because a lot of times, and you know, I know you hear this all the time, do what non-anxious you would do. I don't even know who that is anymore. Sometimes we lose touch with who we are and what we value. So values exercises can be really helpful to sort of revive that and remind ourselves who we really are and what we're working toward. It's a really powerful tool.
I love that. I love that. And we hear examples every time we log on here and do the podcast, don't we? Have we got any examples today?
We do.
Values driven.
We do. We have did it anyways. Let's do this did it anyway here. You know what? Let's do KP first. It's kind of a generic one, but every time you hear a did it anyway, you're listening to somebody who chose to act based on their values as opposed to the fear. They might not necessarily have known that. Some of them are really common and we hear that. They were maybe kids stuff or family stuff, but all of them have that in common. So let's listen to this one first.
Hey, Josh and Drew, this is KP. I just wanted to reach out about my success story. You guys have been a great help and I am not the same person I was a year ago whenever I had my first panic attack. Through this year, with the help of psychiatrists, therapist, and obviously you guys, I got my life back together. I'm doing a lot better now, and you know, I just want anybody to know that if you're struggling with this, you know, it is not permanent. It does take hard work, but there's light at the end of the tunnel. I thought I had the worst, but doing exposures and listening to the podcasts and, you know, making an effort to get my life back, a year later I finally did it and I'm doing really well. And I just wanted to reach out and say thanks to you guys. Y'all are great. And, you know, to anybody suffering with this, you're not going to feel like this forever. So thank you so much. And, you know, feel free to use my name if you'd like. All right, peace.
Well done, KP.
Good job, KP. And I'm sorry that I ruined it with your with the crickets, but my brain isn't working.
Yeah, that's like some passive aggressive
totally
thing,
was.
Wasn't it? Like, is that all you could do, KP? That was brilliant.
I'll edit that.
So good. And I love the, you could hear the pride and the attitude in his voice that was just so good. And you could see it a year ago, struggling with panic attacks. Look how far you've come, KP. Well done, man.
Yeah, and thank you for like sharing that as a way to encourage other people. Like, I didn't think I could do it, but here I am. And I think if we look at, you know, values in recovery, you could say that what he was doing, because people would want to ask him, well, how did you do it? Well, he said he did hard things. And why did he do hard things? If we probably dug into it, it's, well, because I was tired of living based on what my anxious brain was telling me to do. I wanted to be me again.
Mm.
Yeah, that's really, really important.
Do you think part of values-driven recovery is about envisaging what non-anxious you would do, or even calling back in your memory to a time where you felt like you weren't hindered by anxiety, and just kind of placing that as the finish goal? And whilst the journey there is can be full of doubt and discomfort, knowing that when you get there, it was worth it.
Yeah, I think so. And like, you know, what did non-anxious me used to do? That's super valuable exercise, of course, because you can think of specific activities you might want to work on as exposures. But why was I doing that? I really miss, you know, somebody the other day say, like, I used to be so active in my church. That's important for this person. And now I don't go anymore because I'm afraid. You know, they really wanted to get back to that. So it's like, well, you can look at that as, well, an exposure would be trying to learn how to go back to, you know, whatever you were doing, either the church services or your community events, or, well, clearly I value connection, right? Or I value my faith. Those are life values. And now I can look at exposures that move me toward those values, because there's a big range there. And you could identify things that you might not have thought of if you thought your only job was to learn how to go back to church on a Sunday morning. So it really opens things up a little bit. And having that conversation was really great too, because it was, oh, that's right, I do value those things. There was a little bit of a spark moment of like, oh, that's right, that's who I am. Yes, I used to go to church, but who I am is somebody who values their faith community. That was a good moment, so.
And you're not, yeah, it's almost a reminder that you're not defined by your anxiety.
Yeah.
Says the guy who calls himself Anxiety Josh on social media.
Oh, the irony is strong with this one.
Yeah. But you're not defined by your anxiety. It's like, what does define you, and strive towards that? Yeah, because it helps, particularly when you're in the whirlwind of an anxious exposure or doing tricky things, having that reminder of that's still talking to you with a calm voice amongst all the shouting of doubt. But no, this is why we're doing this. Remember, you've got this. Let these guys shout. Remember, we knew what we were going to do before we went and undertook this task, and we're going to keep doing it and keep going.
Yeah.
It's all right, I've got you. They're making an idiot out of themselves by shouting. You know, everyone in the restaurant wants them to leave. No one cares. We're the ones with integrity here. Let's do it. Let's keep going. You know, and we will tip the sufficient amount.
Yeah, I love that analogy. It's really good. Because you're right, your amygdala, whatever, the limbic system is screaming at you to not do things, or to do things to keep yourself safe that move you away from who you truly are and know you are and want to be again, and the way you want to express those values. Like, no, don't do that. That's too dangerous. Don't do that. It might trigger you. Don't do that anymore. Don't do that anymore. And then, you know, you can wind up in that situation. I know I was. I don't know what your experience there was. Like, well, who the hell am I? Like, where did that guy go? What happened to him? And, you know, you feel a little bit lost. You don't even know what to do. When you hear people like us say, well, do what non-anxious you do, a lot of people would be like, I don't even know what that is anymore. I've lost track of that. So there's some cool exercises that, you know, I tend to maybe start to help people work through that can help you start to revive you know, what are your values? And like, what are values? You know, I think that's important too.
Yeah, I remember in mine when I took some time off work when I was initially unwell, panic disorder, agoraphobia, OCD. I was at home and not feeling great, and feelings of depression were exacerbated because I didn't feel like I had a function or a purpose. I felt like quite useless. And so one of my values was to get in touch with the fact that I am still capable of doing things. And that's what got me on the bus to work. That's what stopped me from running out of the room when I wanted to, you know, and I worked in a school at the time, and just, you know, wanting to give something back and offer something. And yeah, that's part of the conversation. It's part of the wise mind that's speaking calmly in situations where it feels very loud. No, remember why you're doing this. You got this. Remember why you're doing it.
Yeah, you want to feel, you in that situation, you might say, well, my life value there was I want to contribute. I want to feel useful. I want to be a productive member of my community, whatever it happens to be. And so when your, lizard brain is screaming at you like, no, you should better just stay on the sofa today. Like, no, I don't want to be that guy. I'm not that guy. I'm this guy. I'm a productive member of my community, guy. So let's go act like him.
Mine was just pacing around because I had so much adrenaline. Like, I couldn't even sit still. I would spend all day like lying down 5 minutes, feeling overwhelmed. So I'd get up and just pace the room.
Yeah.
And just try and get rid of how I felt constantly and ruminate. And, oh, if I work out this problem and find the miracle thought, then I can go back to work. Then I can see friends again. Then I can do all this. No. I had it the wrong way around.
Yeah, that's that. Do we recover to live or do we live to recover? I think, and listen, back in the thick of it, I might say, well, I got to recover so I can live again. But over time, you start to recognize like, oh, no, I actually start to live as best I can to recover. It's the other way around. And so what do I choose? I choose to move toward what I value and stop listening to only the fear. The fear moves me away from who I am. But now I'm going to choose to try and move toward who I am as best I can today, you know. And that's the way you do it. And I feel that that's more effective too. If you do value-driven exposures or things that connect that would be ultimately more important to you, there's a lot more effect there in a way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you know what I value, Drew?
What?
Did it anyways.
Do you?
Yeah. Can we have another one?
Yeah, I think I probably would agree with you on that. Let's go to Strong Island, New York for Did It Anyway, because, you know, that's where I'm from.
I've heard they're all crazy there.
Hi, Drew and Josh. My name is Carrie. I am from Long Island, New York. And I want to share a Did It Anyway. You can share my name as well. And I want to preface this by saying that I am fully recovered from panic disorder, but still experience anxiety from time to time. And I think that it's important for people listening going through this anxiety journey, recovery journey, to know that even though you can be fully recovered, you can also experience anxiety sometimes, and that is okay. So yesterday I had a doctor appointment, and of course, anticipatory anxiety was there. And the last time that I went to the doctor, before I knew anything about recovery, I had a full panic attack in the room. I could not even be there without my husband or without taking meds. And this time I went alone, without my husband, without meds. And even though I felt anxiety, I did it anyway. I got through the appointment. I got through the blood work, which I also hate. And I was fine. I survived. It's okay to feel anxiety and get through your day and do normal things that you're supposed to be doing or want to be doing or have to be doing, and it's okay. And I just finished work today and it's a beautiful day, and now I'm gonna go to a book event at a brewery and have a great time. Thanks for everything you do, guys. Bye.
Go Carrie, go Long Island represent.
Well done. Yeah. Excellent. Also, a book event at a brewery sounds really fun.
You know, I'm a little bit annoyed at Carrie because we live on Long Island together and she didn't even say the name of the damn brewery. So, like, you know.
Yeah, she doesn't want to bump into you.
Come on, help me out, right? I want to go to a book event interview at a brewery, too.
One of Carrie's core values is to not bump into
not bump into me. Never see that guy. Like, I know he's around here somewhere. And you know what? I support that value 100%.
Aren't you banned from, like, 90% of the breweries in Long Island?
Yeah, I can't go there anyway, so it doesn't matter. Like, don't tell me where it is. And, you know, and I love at the end, and I'm going to a book event at a brewery. So, like, you can probably find a value in that. I don't know, Carrie. I know she never wants to see me and will never know me. But, you know, it's what's the value there? It might be, well, I value being social. I value literature. I like books. I like authors. I like that stuff. I like my friends. I value being in my friendships. And that's where we're meeting today. As opposed to like, well, what I'm going to do is listen. Sorry, World of Warcraft again. I don't play World of Warcraft. I really don't. Maybe I should. I don't know.
Well, it's one of your values.
It is one of my values to not play World of Warcraft. But somewhere in Carrie's story here is our values coming out. I'm going to go do what I like to do, what's important to me. So well done. I'm a fan.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent. Well done. It's, again, I love hearing the pride in people's voices. It's one of my favorite it's a good parts deal. Of this job as well. It's just like, oh, I'm dead proud of myself. Well done.
Yeah, well done. I know I'm driving this one because it's sort of my thing.
It's nice to hear you be compassionate, Drew. Well, I've heard the old episodes of The Anxious Truth. Mm. It's like a drill sergeant at some awful budget personal training camp where you get up and like have no carbs and then do burpees and be like, you must overcut. I'm like, chill out. It's nice to see you get soft.
Get in that ice bath, maggot. That's The Anxious Truth episodes circa 2016. That was my inner R. Lee Ermey coming out. What is your major malfunction, Private? but you
is
know,
from
it is
Full
important.
Metal Jacket.
I believe that was Full Metal Jacket, right?
Oh, yeah. That's
R. Lee Ermey was a tough movie. Yeah, that was a tough one. But I think the values thing for me is something that I only recognized in retrospect that I was doing. And I think a lot of recovery is like that. Oh, I didn't know I was doing that. I wasn't like, ooh, let me make a values-based decision. I felt like I just don't want to do this anymore. I can't live like this anymore. So I'm going to do the other thing, and you better take me down and kill me. Like, there was moments like that in my recovery when I started to really move forward. I was just tired of not living according to my values. So I didn't know I was doing value-driven recovery. I just got tired of being pulled away from who I really was. Couldn't tolerate that anymore.
It came up in my therapy as well. Like, it was bittersweet because when I was initially poorly, it was because I needed to look after my brother. Mm. I reckon I'd have been a lot more stuck in anxious territory if I didn't have the immediate value of wanting to look after my brother. So I was doing it for him, which in a way is sweet, but also unfortunate because of the circumstances, because he wasn't very well. And so I was like, no, I need to get better. I need to sort my shit out here because I need to look after him. Mm-hmm. But I'm in retrospect, looking back, if he wasn't, I might have just spent a longer time nesting, transforming my world, making things more comfortable. But the fact is that, like, I wanted to get out and kind of do the best I can so I could do hospital visits and take my brother out and stuff. And that was definitely a value. Yeah. That was a value-driven exposure in the sense that one of my core values is to be there. And, you know, and it started particularly with agoraphobia, just walking to the end of my garden, then walking down the street, walking on the bus, feeling those feelings, doing them anyway. But yeah, at the back of my mind, yeah, if you think about it, it was strong values that were driving it.
Yeah, and sometimes you work, you know, for me, if I look back, I would think, oh, I probably would have benefited from actually doing some values work. I might have gone a little faster or suffered a little less, I don't know, or had more purpose. But sometimes you don't even have to do that. Life just rips the values out of, like, that hidden part of you and shows them to you. You know, the value of being part of your family and loving your brother and taking care of your brother and doing the best you can for your family. You had no choice. Here it is. Here's your value, Josh. What are you going to do with it? And so you acted toward it. You know, maybe not. Yeah. So, like, it's a really powerful thing, because when you can connect to that, and you hear it in the stories we hear from people who do it because their parents, or I didn't want to let my partner down, I'm tired of missing out on our relationship, or people who are in the helping professions, I'm a nurse and I knew I had to take care of this person. That's that value coming out and overriding the fear, at least for a few minutes at a time. And that's what that counts. We can build on that.
Yeah. Be careful not to misinterpret this, though. It doesn't mean if you're at a stage of recovery where maybe an exposure is too frightening for you, or you get into a state, it doesn't mean that isn't your value. It just means that's just something you're working towards.
Right.
You know, and particularly with OCD and people with intrusive thoughts, they're like, oh my God, these thoughts are the opposite to my values. And I'm spending hours thinking about them. Does this mean that there's something wrong? No. What we're saying is, if you're someone with intrusive thoughts and things that go against your morals and values, turning your back on them is the values. Like, sitting with the discomfort, leaning into the uncertainty, not even sitting with the discomfort, just getting on with your day with the discomfort is a value-driven exposure.
Yeah, but if I don't argue with it and prove it wrong, doesn't it mean I like it and therefore I'm abandoning who I truly am. That's the argument there. And that's
yeah. very confusing. If I don't ruminate on it and find 100% certainty that this isn't me,
right,
then that's not my values. My values is that I'm a good person. And if I leave this alone, then this leaves me open to the fact that I might not be a good person, I might be horrible.
Yeah.
No, that's the OCD talking.
Right.
Yeah. Your value is, no, I know that I'm defined by my behavior, not my thoughts.
Yeah.
And I know that OCD and intrusive thoughts thrive because they're the opposite of who I am. So I'm going to do the opposite of what it suggests and practice doing that.
Yeah, that's true. And if we look at, you know, what Josh said is correct. If maybe an exposure is outside of your reachability zone right now, and that's a real thing, right? That's why we do incremental exposures. The value in that situation, it doesn't mean like, oh, I've abandoned that value because I can't do this exposure now. That value could be the motivation to work toward that exposure. That's why you would do it. You know, otherwise it's, I don't know why I would do that. This is a super scary thing for me. Why do you keep telling me to do it? I don't want to do that. Well, what will you get on the other side of this fear? Oh, I'll return to the value. So it doesn't mean, you're right. Like, you have to be careful with that. It's like, oh, I'm not a good person because I didn't do my exposures, or I'm not a good family member because I couldn't do that today. No, that's what motivated you to try today, whereas maybe 2 weeks ago you wouldn't try. So congratulations, you're moving forward if you do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We just throw that in as a disclaimer because people with very loud Craig the Critics misinterpret it.
He's always there.
It's Craig the Critic.
He's like, you're not doing your values. If you really value being a parent, you do more. No, that's not what we're saying.
Mm-hmm. How about the thing where you do a good job? This is values driven also. It's just sneaky. And we hear it a lot. Again, I'm talking about parents a lot because I know I hear that in the community, but the whole like, well, I haven't taken my kid to the playground in 6 months and I did it today. The sun was out, you know, they really went to go play. His friends were there. We met, we hung out at the playground for 45 minutes. I haven't done that in 6 months, but that's where, you know, this guy chimes in.
It's Craig the Critic.
But I wasn't fully present. I wasn't actively engaged. Like, see, you did a good thing according to your values. And that inner critic just says, no, you didn't. None of that counts. And it attacks that again. I'm a terrible mom because I wasn't fully present while Kevin was on the monkey bars. Really? Really, Craig? Is that where you're going? So, you know, it's not fair.
Just a little bit of time, guys, and stop trying to be perfect with doing stuff. It's fine. You'll engage eventually. You're not going to be present during an exposure. We spoke an episode not long ago, like as long as it's 51%, you're all good. That's how I measure it anyway, or even just some.
Yeah.
You know, aim for 51. Anything over is win, even if some is a win.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, you know, it's not, I think what I'm trying to say is that values are an ideal. They're not measurable.
Yes.
Don't try to measure a value and conflate it with your behavior and your anxiety levels. No. It's just an ideal that you strive towards.
Somebody once told me, I might have been one of the ACT trainings, I don't know, like a value represents a path that you walk on. You don't check, I walk the street. It doesn't have a checkbox. You don't finish your value.
I'm walking here.
Sorry. Yeah. I'm walking here. Hey. Yeah, like you don't check that box. You know, I accomplished that value, or I felt that value. It's not a feeling.
I felt that value.
Right, but I think people will get confused. That's that I wasn't fully present, or I did go back to church with my family, but I didn't even know what he was saying. I didn't even know what the pastor was saying. Like, so I failed. Well, because what did you think? I was supposed to, if I didn't feel a certain way doing the exposure or after the exposure, well, I didn't reach my value, I failed. No, a value isn't a feeling. A value is a path you walk on. So it's really, you know, and it's an ideal. I love that. It's a direction you go in.
I think we tick the box of righteousness as a value every time we drop one of these episodes.
We do.
Self-righteous douchebags.
One of my core values is like entertaining myself, because we seem to do that a lot. We just think we're hilarious. So
no one else does.
No one else does.
Just get to the informative, evidence-based anxiety content, please. No one's interested in you goofing around.
It's funny. This is the part of the episode where Drew and Josh talk about the podcast. It's the meta part. Like, we have so many lovely reviews, and thank you for everybody who puts those out there. But I gotta believe that for every person that appreciates when we're chuckling and being goofballs, there has to be another person that's like, this is unlistenable. And if you're out there, we're sorry. Like, we get it. It might be. It's possible. This is, I got to click this off because this is killing me. So just a moment to recognize we might not be for everybody. Sorry, guys. So that's values. Can we talk a second about how to find, how to connect to values again before we go back to did it anyways and questions?
Yeah, take the stage.
Take the stage, man. Let me get the spotlight. I'm ready for my close-up, Mr. DeMille. These are cool because people confuse goals and values all the time. A value is not a checkbox, and like we were just talking about, what are my values then? There's some cool exercises that I love that come out of the ACT community that can connect you back to your values. But you know, I'm not going to use that warning thing because we don't do that here. One of the cool ACT exercises is, what if you had to write your own obituary? What would you write about yourself? Or I've modified that. Let's assume you're being inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, which clearly, Josh, you will be at some point. It's just a matter of time. And like you say, hey, I want my friend Drew to give me the induction speech. What would you want me to say about you? Because I would probably talk about your values and who you are, like the path you've walked in life. This is why we dig Josh, because he's always there for his friends and he's curious and he's artistically creative and all of those things. If you write your Rock and Roll Induction Hall of Fame speech or you write your own obituary, that starts to tell you what your values are. Oh, look, I valued my family. I valued beauty in the world. I valued art. Those are cool exercises, I think, because they won't say goals. We're going to induct Josh into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame because he got up every morning and ran 3 miles. No one would say that when they at your obituary. That's a goal. That's a checkbox.
What would you have in yours? Mine would be if
he really
successfully evaded
up.
Prosecution for 6 attempts at grand theft auto.
Yeah, maybe that's possible. Like, managed to not offend that many people. Might, I don't know that, but they might say about me. I don't know, but possibly, or I don't know. It's hard sometimes. That's a hard. You know, I've never done that exercise. Maybe I'll do that.
Had a mental health top 10 mental health podcast in the UK.
That was there. See, that's a goal, not a value. But so in that situation, the value might be to be helpful. I want to be helpful. I value being helpful. And so we make this crazy podcast that we make. But yeah. I've never done that exercise, but there are some cool exercises you can do if you actually Google ACT, A-C-T, and values exercises. There's a ton of them. ACT is just full of crazy little exercises and metaphors that you can do that help you begin to identify what your values are again, if you feel a little lost. And plus, your values might change over time. You can't go through this thing that you're all going through, if you're listening to us, and not change. So the things you maybe valued in the past, maybe you still do, but at a lower priority, and other things have taken. So there's cool little exercises to try if you're feeling a little lost.
A good one as well is, like, particularly with people who struggle or forget what non-anxious them would do or whatever. And we've mentioned in the past about, well, trial and error, see what you want. Maybe one of your values is to, you know, I like to learn new things. I'm an intrepid explorer of activities, maybe even geography, anything. Trying new things is your value. I hear a lot of things like, oh, I don't know if I'll like ballroom dancing. Well, then, but what's one of your values? Well, actually, I like trying new things and pushing myself a bit. That is one of my values. All right, and then have a go, you know, let's get the ballroom shoes on, you know, let's do something like that. One of your values might be to, you know, try a new thing. Giving things a chance is a good value.
Being open, like open. That's one of those, like, big, we get it, all the theory here, big 5 personality traits. Openness is a protective trait. So like, I value curiosity and I'm going to try to start being a little more curious and open to experiences.
Yeah, I like that.
And you know what? That might be a really important value to you during your recovery, because it can drive your recovery choices. I'm just going to try this. Again, I've told the story. That's why these stupid guitars behind me that I barely touch anymore. I don't know what I want to do. I was a full-time anxious person. I lost my job as a full-time anxious person. What do I want to do now? I have no idea. I'll buy a guitar.
Did you lose your job?
Well, I lost my job as a full. I always say that my job was being a full-time anxious person. And then, you know, when I got better, I lost that job, and now I'm like anxiously unemployed. I'm unemployed for my anxiety, and I didn't know what to do. So I just had
to
try.
The severance stuff. Package was a life of freedom.
Oh, it was the golden parachute of love. Yeah, so you know, the value of curiosity or openness or exploration could help drive some of your recovery choices. What do I do? I don't know. I'll just try some stuff. How's that?
I want another did it anyway, but specifically from an American woman.
Do you? I can accommodate that. See, I'm a useful kind of guy. Here we go.
Hi, Drew and Josh. My name is Addie, and I'm a 19-year-old college student from California. I just wanted to share a did it anyway with you guys. Over the last like week, I've just been struggling with really bad, just like general anxiety in my body. Like I wake up in the morning, my heart's racing, just like you guys know, all this stuff. And DPDR, my tummy hurts, and just like every basically like symptom to happen has just been around. But I haven't let that rule my life. And that's just a small win that I've been super proud of recently, because I've wanted to cancel plans and I've wanted to stay home from work and I've wanted to not go to my classes, but I have not missed a single day of school. I've not missed a single day of work. I've not canceled any plans with friends. I just have pushed through and just allowed myself to show up anxious and not even tried to fight the anxiety. And it's super uncomfortable, but I've done it anyway. Every single day. And right now I'm going to work again and I'm just going to keep going because I'm not going to let this anxiety win. And I just wanted to share that with you guys because it really is due to your community and your guys' podcast, just that I felt like I have the ability to do this. So that's just my little did it anyway. I hope that this can encourage just you guys to keep up the work that you're doing and just encourage some other people that they're not alone in the stuff that they're facing, because it fucking sucks, but we got this. So thanks, guys.
Well, nice values-driven exposure. That's brilliant.
Mm-hmm. And extra applause for returning the podcast rating into R from PG-13. Thanks, Eddie. Nah, we appreciate
you guys. You let a cuss slip now and then.
I know I do. I think in the last one I let one out, but no one, man, people still listening, so that's good.
Yeah. Oh, lovely. Well done for sharing that, and brilliant as well. Multiple things, particularly what we're talking about today. You know, actually, I don't want to miss study. I don't want to miss work. I don't want to miss seeing my friends. You know, I value seeing friends, hanging out with them, and even though I don't want to, I'm going to do it. And actually, I'm getting more in tune with it. I'm getting habituating to what my values are.
Yeah, I love the part when she says, "I and not even fighting the anxiety." That's a good, like, so when people are like, "Well, what do you do?" Well, don't do anything. Like, do nothing. Don't fight it. You know, drop your resistance.
Yeah, you say surrender.
Surrender, willfully tolerate whatever. Call it whatever you want. Like, but in the end, you're engaging in a value. I'm going to engage with my friends because I value friendship and community is the thing you do instead of resisting your anxiety. And then you learn over time, like, oh, even when I don't fight it, I turn out okay. Look at me. Go Addy. What do you got, man? I see you looking at your screen. What do you got? Some good?
I've got one here. I want to share my success story, and you're welcome to use my name if you share it. I didn't take down your name. Apologies. But I've got the written did it anyway. Recently lost my dad in August 2023 to pancreatic cancer. He was diagnosed 6 months prior, and it was a roller coaster of emotions, but nothing like after his funeral in October. From October to New Year's, I had anxiety every moment of the day that seemed to come out of nowhere. So bad that I ended up in the urgent care and then went on to taking meds, thinking and looking for the cure all. It wasn't until finding your podcast and listening through so many episodes to learn what anxiety really is. Once I sorted out what amps up the adrenaline and cortisol, which was the fear of feeling anxiety, did I begin my recovery. It's now April, and anxiety is still there at times. Hold on. I do often sometimes scan my body, the inwards compulsion, and wonder why I don't have a feeling or sensation, but come to realize that it is unnecessary to do since I am in a good place and my rumination tends to go away. I've since been more aware of my depression since that is at the front of the line now instead of my anxiety, but I have since taken many of the lessons from your podcasts and started to make small changes in my daily life to try to curb the thoughts of being down as well as beginning to meditate. I know Josh speaks outwardly of hating breathing exercise. I don't hate them. I just say sometimes they don't work.
You're a hater. You're a breath hater. Just say.
Yeah. Yeah. I hate everyone breathing. As it usually aids in anxiety to think about your breath again. But again, going back to what you guys say, anxiety can be dealt with and when it is. I can focus on other things in my life that help me. At the beginning of this, I had never been so low with terrible thoughts and mindsets, but now looking back, I have made... I'm so sorry for Drew's distractions. I have made so many little progressive actions that I like to say I am moving forward. When I look back, I've been moving forward the entire time. But when you're in the depths, it's difficult to see. It's like preparing for a marathon or getting abs. We wouldn't know about that. Mm-mm. It's not going to happen overnight. It takes time and habits to create that end goal. For others out there, keep going. It gets better.
That was great, did it anyway.
It was good, yeah. I really like, and well done. And apologies to hear about the passing of your father. Mm-hmm. But you're an example to go show that you can get to a good place even when you've got the mixture of anxiety disorders and grief and depression and all that. You can get there. So thank you for sending that in and taking the time out to write all that out too.
Yeah, 100%. I think we are planning to do a grief episode at some point. We're going to do one just on that, but
yeah, we'll do a grief episode at one point.
The thing I would add, because I know that there's a couple of voicemails I listened to today that we haven't played on the air, but that talk about that too. The only thing I'll add to that before we do a whole episode on it is grief isn't a floating, accepting, tolerating, exposure engineered away. Like, it's just a thing you have to feel. So sometimes that's really hard for anxious people to accept it. Right now, I'm going to feel terrible and have big emotions. There's no exposure for grief. It's just an experience we have to have. It's a drag.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. And we can tell you what not to do. I can certainly tell you that.
You can.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I've got a question here. I think we got time.
Yeah,
we got time.
We got a couple of minutes.
Put you on the spot.
Yep.
Hi, I have a question. So basically, for the last 2 years, I've suffered with anxiety in every form, panic attacks, monophobia, agoraphobia, and social anxiety. I've been to 6 different therapists, and we've always focused on the agoraphobia like it was the main problem. And so have I for the last 2 years. I've not been getting anywhere with my recovery. But I've just started working with a new therapist, and she thinks it's not the agoraphobia. She thinks my main problem is severe social anxiety. And if I start to work on that, then the agoraphobia would slowly fix itself. I do think she's onto something, as it all dies down to me being embarrassed and looking silly in front of people. So my question is, what are your thoughts on this? Can you talk a bit more on social anxiety? How would you begin to approach this? You can use my name. Again, I've not copied the name. Sorry.
That was Stacey.
Stacey.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I did. I just didn't look... close enough. Thanks, Stacey. I mean, we can't comment too much because you're in therapy, but what are your initial thoughts, Drew?
It doesn't sound crazy to me. Like, you know, again, we can't really like, oh, your therapist is definitely right or wrong. We don't know. But if your anxiety, if the disaster that you always attach with those anxious feelings is I will be embarrassed and people will shun me or I'll be ostracized or, you know, unloved, it could be. You know, because the exposure there would be like, okay, you're going to start to learn how to be embarrassed better. Not that, oh, it's, you know, and it's so funny because in that situation, no amount of, they're not even looking at you, probably has ever mattered. Maybe it made you feel better for 5 minutes, but when the time came to actually do the scary thing, I don't care. So maybe it could be.
Yeah. It could be a mixture of agoraphobia and social anxiety.
Right.
Either way, you got to remember as well, like the agoraphobia is the flight part of fight, flight, freeze, fawn. Mm-hmm. And this type of anxiety, particularly fear of humiliation, is the fawn response.
Yeah.
I'm afraid. I have a fear of humiliation. This could, you know, this could run a bit deep. Maybe you've got out of history of growing up in around people that have been put you down, or maybe your brain, the fawn response has been conditioned in the past to really care what people think. Mm-hmm. Maybe you've been in an environment full of conflict or in a not ideal relationships or been on the receiving end of bullying. Either way, the exposure, well, I actually think it's important to formulate what the exposure is.
Yeah.
I love a good formulation, particularly Nesquik. And when you start to pinpoint what it is that you're exposing yourself to, then you know exactly why you're doing the exposure. So maybe it's a bit of agoraphobia. Actually, yeah, I don't like it when I'm not in my safe space, but also, yeah, I'm fearing anxiety, but I'm also fearing judgment from people.
Yeah.
And that's when you can do some cool exposures. I've done some with my own clients in the past, like rolling around on the floor in supermarkets and stuff. I do it. Just say, like, no one actually cares, you know, but it's but the fawn response does.
Yeah.
And that's what you've got to show.
So what you're learning there is like, oh, I can, I feel, it doesn't matter. Keep telling me that people aren't looking, even if they aren't, I don't like the way I feel when I think people are looking at me. Remember, agoraphobia is just avoidance based on, I don't want to feel a certain way. And if that certain way is driven by social anxiety, then yeah. And remember, they also all bleed together. There's really, it's really hard to say, no, no, your problem is social anxiety, not agoraphobia. But it could be both, because all of these start to look like each other after a while. But that just might be the lens that you need to look through now to target, to see where your target really is. Could be.
Mm.
Yeah, not a bad thing. Good question.
Good question. Oh, well, thank you very much, Drew.
Yeah, that was good.
Where can people find you online?
Well, you can find, just Google The Anxious Truth, and you'll find me on pretty much any platform, which is fine. And what about you, Josh?
Google Joshua Fletcher or Anxiety Josh. Come find us on Instagram. We're on TikTok as well. And yeah, if not, join us every Friday for a new episode. If you're new to the podcast and you've just been listening to the recent episodes, we always recommend going back, listening to, you know, the initial episodes, particularly the first 12, 13. They're like the core principles of kind of what we do and what we talk about. But yeah, tune in. Thank you for tuning in. Send in more voice notes. Did it anyways. Questions to disordered.fm.
Mm-hmm.
And we really appreciate the reviews that you've been providing on Apple and Spotify as well. Thank you.
It helps a lot. Thanks for popping in and listening. And we will see you guys next week. We are out.